Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems, he's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Live from way out behind the station in the News Radio, WRVA Home Improvement Shop. This is the Home Show with me, your humble home improvement guru, Richard McCann. Welcome, everybody. The sun is up. It's cold. Remember, I said all summer, I will not complain about the heat so I can complain about the cold because I'm not a hypocrite. That's right. And today, my friends, my listeners, my peoples, we're celebrating 17 years. 17 years of me getting up early and coming in here and doing this show. And I've loved every single moment of it. And I will not give it up for anything. So thank you all for helping me over the years, being there for me. Boomer Magazine is asking who the your favorite radio host is. Boomer Magazine wants to know who your favorite radio host is. I know it's not me, but I appreciate it anyway. I'm joined by Everett from Bremac. Hello, Everett.
Good morning.
Which this has to be like your 10th or 11th or 12th time being on the show.
Something like that.
It's been quite a few. Yes. But before we do anything, you and I need to say thank you to Sarah, Jordan's fiance.
Yes, we do.
Is she still around? Okay. Sarah brought us breakfast from Chick-fil-A.
Oh, it was so good.
It was the sweetest thing.
She's such a nice person.
She really is. She's too good for Jordan.
Yeah, she originally was like, I'll bring you breakfast, but then she decided to ask if you wanted something.
And you know what? She treated us. It was beautiful.
Did.
It was great.
Yeah.
I was hungry.
I was hungry too.
You're always hungry.
I'm always hungry.
It's pretty much, I think you've got a tapeworm.
Probably.
His legs are hollow.
But dude, I you think I was supporting you getting married to her before. Now we're definitely in there. So
definitely a keeper.
Definitely a keeper. New phone number, everybody. It is 833-804-1140. So that's 833-804, just like Richmond. 804. We're the 804. And then 1140. So there you go. How are you, sir?
I'm here.
I'm good. That's not.
No, I'm doing well.
What are you going to go
you.
Into a food coma now that you've gotten some?
Exactly.
Oh my! You know what? I have had that happen because usually after the first show, I go and get lunch. Okay, I don't get breakfast. The people at the Wawa know me by face, and they'll be like, "So do you, you want the soup or are you more, the turkey bowls are back?" And so the lady gave me a turkey bowl and just like heaved it on. It's like 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And I ate the whole turkey bowl. And then by the time we got to the 10 o'clock show, I was like, what? Oh, yeah, radio show. Got it. Yeah, wait. Oh, there I am.
So, yeah, food coma every day after lunch.
So I invited you here because what is your title at Bremac exactly?
Service manager.
You are service manager. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I didn't know if you were a chief operating officer or something like that. COA
no.
Or a
chief flunky.
Okay.
Catch all, do all.
I called you here because Thursday, and you, yeah, same thing happened at your house. Well, my wife came out of the bedroom and said, I'm freezing.
And my mom did the same thing to me.
It was only like 60. It was 60 degrees in the house. Huh? I was okay.
I was too.
Uh-huh.
I told her, I said, look, I slept with the window open and the fan on last night.
Yeah, well, but no, it did, like it does in standard Virginia style, we went from hot as heck to cold, and there was no real in-between.
Not much.
I think I got a couple of days of no AC, just windows.
Yep.
Best sleep I've had in months.
Yes, it was. I felt so good.
I wanted to talk to you today about different heating systems and a few other things that, you know, during the break, I came up with some ideas that we're going to have to talk about. At some point, I want to talk about thermostats.
Okay.
All right, because programmable thermostats have been around for what?
A long time.
30 years? 25?
Probably longer than that.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I still don't know how to program one. And there are tricks to it.
Yeah, because there's most of them are made now so that they can fit a multitude of equipment, mm-hmm. multitude of styles. So there's some backdoor programming things that have to go on. We call them configurations.
Yeah.
That you have to set them up so they know what they're doing.
And people don't know that. People will go buy a digital and just, why isn't this working?
Yeah, put it on the wall.
And we'll discuss some of these smart thermostats. I'm not crazy about them. I don't know how many of you have played with yet.
We've been exposed to some of them.
All right. Another thing I want to talk about at some point, humidifiers.
Okay.
In the house. Because I don't know about your place. How old's your house?
It's 50 years old.
Okay. So dry. It's dry in your house.
Yep.
And so is mine. Air cleaners. Mm-hmm. Not just the ones that go in the system, but things that are portable. We're going to discuss some of those if you're okay with
purifiers.
It. Purifiers. Yep. Purifiers. And we're going to take a call. Jane in Midlothian.
Yes, this morning you were talking about gas logs. I was in bed, so I couldn't get up to call you, but I have unvented gas logs, and I've always cut them off in the summer and turn them on in the winter, and it's a hard thing to do. You have to lie completely on the floor to get under there, and I have a wall switch that once they're on, I can cut them off and on. What do you think? Do you think I should leave them? This past year, they broke, and a repair man came in, and he said, just leave them on all year round. What is your opinion on that?
I've got an opinion. Go for it, though. You first, brother.
Yeah, I mean, you can leave them on all year long. It doesn't.
It won't hurt anything then.
Oh, man. Now, the main thing is cleaning them every year.
Yeah, you got to get them serviced once a year, Jane.
I use them so little.
That makes
even
it worse.
That, even when I turn them on, I only leave them on for a little bit. Like I'll go in the morning, drink a cup of coffee, and leave. If I have company, I'll turn them on just for maybe half an hour, and then I don't use them, you know, all for hours or anything like that.
I know.
Well, it's not so much about how much you use them; it's about the fact that when you do use them, they're attracting, they're pulling air to them, and they're pulling dust and stuff that gets in the burners. So you need to have the burners cleaned so that they'll burn properly, burn efficiently, so you don't want to make carbon monoxide.
Jane, they're going to come to my house and do mine, okay?
All right, so do you all do them? This fellow with you, he cleans them?
Yeah, Bremac does clean logs.
Bremac, R-E-M-A-C-K?
B.
M-A-C-K-E, Bremac? I'm in Midlothian. Would you all come that far?
Yes, ma'am.
Jane, I'm going to hand you over to Jordan. He's going to give you the name, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right. Jordan, you know how to do that? No, that's not right. You got him? Okay, he'll take care of it. I think so. There we go.
Okay, right back.
New phone, dude. I'm still trying to figure this darn thing out.
Oh, yeah.
But no, gas logs, we did talk about that earlier. We'll talk about it again because a lot of people like them. Like I said, mine is strictly emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Strictly, I don't have any electricity. And I'm even considering, putting a power inverter on my boiler so that if we do lose power, I can run it off a truck battery.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can do that. So we'll figure all that out.
Okay.
833-804-1140. That's how you get through to the home show. I am joined by Everett from Bremac. I must mumble a lot. And this is the home show. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRBA, 345-1140 is the phone number. Jill, didn't I already answer your question about your wood stove?
Well, it's not mine. It's my brother's. I called him, and I asked him about did he have an inspection once a year. He said no, he cleaned it himself. And he said he stuck a long hair brush inside of it, too, so I guess it should be safe enough. You think that is?
Is he a professional chimney cleaner?
No.
I think that answers the question.
Why does it have to be professional?
Really? Jill?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't clean my own chimney, and I do know how to do it.
That's funny.
All right, Jill, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Okay, see, here's my thinking. By the way, I'm joined by Everett from BREMAC. How do I put this? It's the burger joint theory is what I live by. Okay, do you know what that is?
No.
Okay, so here's the deal. If you go to a burger joint, okay, you don't order the fish sandwich because their specialty is burgers. If you want electrical work done, you don't have your plumber do it unless he's an electrician too, because the electrician isn't going to be doing the plumbing and the plumbing. So I've cleaned a chimney. Have you ever cleaned a chimney?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But are we really qualified to do it?
Yeah. Not really.
Wasn't really trained at it.
No.
But
no.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Exactly. You know, I know how to put brakes on my truck. When my truck needed brakes, I went over to a buddy of mine's house who's been working on cars since he was a little kid. And even though halfway through he goes, "No, you know what you're doing." I'm like, "Yeah, but you really know what you're doing. Let's do it that way." So that's where I'm at with that. You know,
yes.
Just definitely clean your chimney. I did have a chimney specialist one time, and he told me that this was all he did for a living. He wanted to clean a chimney after every two cords of wood. And I'm like, that's a little excessive, don't you think?
Yeah, it's a little bit.
You are tired now, aren't you?
Yes,
did that biscuit just wipe you out? Do I need a?
It was the second one.
It was the second one. You know, I can always send you home and have Sarah come in here and do the show with me. We're going to have to get her on air at some point, Jordan. So it is heating season. Let's talk about heating systems. Let's talk about oil for a minute.
Okay.
Explain to people, because there's oil. Okay, back up. People call furnaces boilers and boilers furnaces. You want to explain the difference, please?
Yep. Furnaces heat air. Boilers heat water. It's the fuel determines what gas, oil, but they're two different animals. You know, one's full of water. One's just got just heats air and blows it out. The registers in the ceiling or in the floor. In the boilers, you've got freestanding cast iron, the old, you know, cast iron things that are sitting underneath windows. You got baseboard radiation that runs around the perimeter of the room. And then there's some radiant heat.
The radiant stuff, that's really making a comeback.
Yes. Because it heats, you have nice warm floors. That's the biggest thing that people complain about, is cold feet. So if you heat the floor, you have warm feet, and then the heat obviously is migrating up throughout the room. It's slow to recover, which means if the room is really cold, it's going to take it a while before it heats things up, heats that room back up, as opposed to forced hot air, gas furnaces. Even baseboard radiation is a little bit slower than the forced hot air. So it's nice, even, warm heat. It's not drafty, but it is slow. It's nice, but it's slow.
I'll say this, because last year when I got all the radiators running right, okay, I left the house and it was cold, but I had gotten the system on. In fact, I called you because my boiler didn't want to come on.
Yes.
And he told me, unscrew this screw and then screw it back in. I forget what I didn't even understand what you were saying to me.
Yeah, it was sparking, but it wouldn't light. It wouldn't recognize the flame. So in your system, it uses the flame as a ground to get back the signal back to the control so that it'll light. So you had corrosion built up around the screws, so the signal couldn't make it. So I loosened the screw up, scuff it up, tighten it back down.
And it lit.
Fires right off.
But I'll say this. I left it 2 hours later. I came back 2 hours later, and the world of difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, and let's really talk about radiant heat, because, one, it's not popular anymore. Nobody's doing it.
The cost is the biggest thing.
The really? Cost of
it, yeah. I mean, how easy was it for you to find a radiator?
I'm gonna say it wasn't that bad.
Well,
I asked around.
Yeah.
It took me a while. It took me a day to find out who had them. But once I found, I bought them at Caravati's.
Right.
And I was actually amazed that they weren't more expensive.
Okay.
because he was charging me $15 a fin. And that's not that bad.
No.
Not for a radiator.
No. And you had the piping already in place.
All the piping was in place.
Now, if we got to go in and do all that piping and you got to do fitting and measuring and threading, and how long is it going to take to put that piping system in?
What? Okay, so let me ask you this. What would keep me from piping a system like that in copper? I could do it in copper instead of steel.
Yep. Cost of copper.
Okay. What about?
Now you can do O2 barrier PECs.
I don't know O2 barrier PECs.
Yeah. See, oxygen is our enemy in hot water systems.
Absolutely.
Because oxygen and steel and presence of water makes rust really bad. So you have the normal PECs pipe that you're used to using for plumbing will allow oxygen to move in and out.
Really?
The O2 barrier will not allow that. We want a good boiler water stinks and it's black.
Yes, it is.
Because it's pulling carbon out of the steel. And that stinky smell is all the organic material, the algae and whatever is in there. It's died. All the oxygen is depleted. And that's what makes it stink. So, and it feels slimy too.
So really, it just really does come down to time and material. That's why people don't do
cost. Yep.
Wow. Okay. By the way, 833-804-1140. That's 833-804-1140. That's how you get through to the show. We're going to be talking heating, getting things toasty. And because it's my 17-year anniversary, I've got not one but two stories from Florida. You're going to love this segment. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to ask the most all-important question, should you pee in the shower? I'm serious. Well, people are being told to do that to save water. Not here, but it could happen. I think it's okay. My name is Richard McCann. This is The Home Show. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRBA, joined by my friend Everett from BREMAC. How you doing, son?
All right. How are you, sir?
I'm wide awake, unlike you. I only
have... You're playing a mean air drum.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I love the music. I mean, you know, if you listen to the early show I was talking about, when I first started doing this all those years ago, they gave me some of the lamest music. It was just lame bumper music. I'm like, oh, no, son, that's got to change. And it has evolved. Our opener, the opener, which is Over My Head by Lit. When I took over the early show, which was like 3 or 4 years ago, they gave me a whole new opener. And it was like something with fiddles in it and a banjo. And I went to my boss at the time. I was like, no, I want to use this song. And I played it for him. He goes, I don't think people will understand you that way. I don't know. It's not going to work. And I'm like, okay, fine. Then he quit. He moved to another station the very next weekend we had Over My Head by Lit. So that's,
Well, how fitting.
See, now you get the joke. That's exactly the joke. It was my brother's idea. He's like, you know, isn't everybody calling you in a little over their head? I'm like, I'm over my head, so that's why we use the tune.
I won't comment on that one.
Oh, please. It's probably the only thing this is probably the only thing I'm good at anymore. Lord. I mean, life has changed drastically in 17 years, son, including gaining. And I got up to like 250-some pounds at one point, and I'm down 25 pounds from that. So things have changed.
Yes.
But it's good to have you here. Now that heating season is here. By the way, people, the phone number is now 833-804-1140. That's 833-804-1140. New phone number. They just wanted to change up things up, keep it exciting.
I see.
Okay, so let's talk thermostats. All right. Okay. My boiler, which means hot water, which is being pumped through radiators, and yes, I understand, it'd be very expensive to put one of those systems in. But I still have my original Honeywell, was it T87F?
Yes.
One of the few things I remember is T87F.
Millions of those things.
Turny round thermostat. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost 100% sure that it still has mercury in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure it does.
Which my father talks about back in the day, they'd crack those open and just play with the mercury on a table.
Roll it around your hand.
Yeah, what's the worst that could happen? Oh my God, that just explains so much about my dad. Ooh, okay, he's not gonna like that joke. The thermostats have come a long way. I mean, they have changed so drastically, starting with digital programmable thermostats. And those things are going back, what, 25, 30 years?
Probably so, yeah. Yeah, because it used to have old analogs. They had time clocks in them. And you could program, you set the pins in it, and the clock, the dial would run, and that would change the settings on your thermostat.
I remember those. Oh, my. Yep. I haven't thought about one in forever.
And then Honeywell came out with the Chronotherm.
Chronotherm.
Yep. That was the Chronotherm 3. That was a programmable thermostat. That was probably back in the 70s or so. And then they came out. Then we started developing into what we have now.
Hold on. I'm going to tell you right now. I know my dad was still using the T87F long through the 80s.
Oh, yeah. The T87, up until mercury was outlawed in thermostats,
right?
They were still manufacturing those. And there's, like I said, they made millions of those things. That was the best-selling thermostat in the world.
Because it was dependable.
And it was simple.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not the most accurate thing in the world. It's off by a couple of degrees.
Right. When they got some age on them, they could be 5 to 10 degrees off. But they still worked. So you figure out how far you're off, and you just compensate your settings accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and then they've come up. Now we have all of these thermostats that have motion sensors in them, and this sensor and that sensor, and we connect them to our cell phone. Or, you know, I know people that they have their thermostat and they got their cell phone by their bed and they want to change the temperature. They just pick up their cell phone and change it on their phone because they don't want to get out of bed because it's cold, and make it warm. Or right. The other way around.
Before we get into that, let's do bring up the fact that a digital, quote-unquote, air quotes on radio, programmable thermostat, even though they're saying, you know, it's easy to program, blah, 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 it really isn't. There is some stuff behind the scenes that I've had ones that I know I wired it right, but I couldn't get it to work.
Well, what the companies have done to cut back on the numbers, on the sheer offerings that they had, is they combined features to do multiple things into one package.
Right.
So that requires you to go into the base programming. It's called configuration, and set it up for your type of system. And if you don't read the paper, who eats papers?
Can you? Okay, wait a minute. First of all, who can read the paper? Have you seen the size of the print on those instructions inside of a thermostat?
Well, I didn't say that.
Okay, I carry a magnifying glass in my bag.
Yep.
So I can see that's, and I wear reading glasses.
Hey, you think that's bad? You ought to try reading schematics, wiring schematics. That's worse.
Never. No.
That's why I have trifocals.
Soon. Dr. Wong, I'm coming. I need glasses in the worst way.
But yeah, you have to read the instructions and figure out how to configure it to your specific system.
Okay.
And then you set your programming in it.
Now, the only reason I'm bringing that up is because I'm thinking seriously about changing out the thermostat in Casa de McCann so that, radiators, once they come on, if I set it at 68, it's not going to turn itself off, and I'm going to get heat until it's in 72, 73. Even though the machine is shut off, the radiators are still pumping.
Right.
I was thinking of getting one of these so that I can, you know, just before bed, it turns itself down a little bit, and before we get up, it turns itself back up. That's as simple as I want it. Out of the question.
No, there's still most things now that you get in the box stores or anywhere, they're all programmable. They have a programming feature to them, so you can set your schedules to do exactly what you said, do a nighttime setback.
Now, 10 years ago, somebody called me up. They were running the train museum in Richmond, and they wanted a thermostat that they could operate remotely. And I said, as far as I knew, nothing like that existed. This was easily 10 years ago. Now we have smart thermostats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all it's so many Wi-Fi options now. There you go. So people want to stay in touch with their house. You think about, look at what we have, the devices we have in our house. We have Alexa and all these other voice command things.
Oh, you can't say Alexa when you're on radio, because if you say Alexa while you're on the radio, people that have an Alexa will be turned on. And, you know, and you could, if you say things like, Alexa, let's listen to Richard McCann on 1140 WRVA, it'll affect the Alexa. Just saying.
Sorry about that. Well, you got these voice command modules that
you
talk to.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And some of them are tied into the automation system of the home where you
right.
can turn lights on, you can lock and unlock doors, but also change settings on your thermostat.
I can't imagine needing a thermostat that I control over my cell phone. I can't understand the point.
The real good feature to those, if you own a beach or river property and you're traveling to that, you know, you leave work early on Friday and you want to go there, you can access it and get the house cool, turn the temperature down in the house so the house is cool when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Same, and when you leave, you just set it back. You can also set thresholds on there so that if the house gets too hot, it'll send you an alert, or if it gets too cold, it'll send you an alert so that you know you got an issue going on.
So if you have a getaway spot, you could almost understand it. I can, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys were selling a product I totally dig. I want one for the house. Is the programmable water valve. I don't know if you played with any of those, but Frank mm-hmm. was telling me about that. Yep. Daddy wants one of those.
Was having a discussion about one of those yesterday.
I mean, it's something that can monitor my water flow, lets me know if I have a leak, basically.
Right.
And that's something I would like to put on my house. I'd like to put one on my in-laws. They have a beach house.
Yeah.
I mean, a water leak while you're away from the beach, it could ruin a whole.
It could be devastating.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the good thing about that particular device is it will detect drips. So if you have a faucet that just starts dripping, it'll realize that it's learned your habits, and it'll all of a sudden send you an alert that, hey, and if it passes a certain threshold, it'll turn the water off.
But, you know, these programmable thermostats, the smart thermostats, again, and I know, before anybody says anything, I know my privacy is being invaded in every way, shape, and form. Even just by having a cell phone, I'm being monitored. I get it. But that just seems like yet another thing mm-hmm. that somebody's watching me and keeping track of my life.
There is a device that's very well known on the market that it actually has a sensor in it, and the sensor has enough resolution to see your facial features.
Which one is that? You'd say it?
It's a Nest.
Okay, and the Nest.
Yeah, that's why Google bought it.
Okay.
So that they could look at you while you're watching certain programs, and then they can market that material to advertisers or whatever.
You want to watch a show that will freak you out about all the stuff in your house? Have you ever watched Mr. Robot?
No.
Jordan, have you watched Mr. Robot?
No.
It's about a hacker.
Right.
And it's all accurate how they do the hacking.
Yeah.
Scare the life out of you, son. Well, you will not have another piece of electronics in your life.
Well, you mentioned about the doorbell.
Yeah.
And there was on the news where a guy hacked into those, and he was actually talking to the homeowner and says, look, you don't realize what you've done. He didn't do anything, but it scared the bejeebies out of the homeowner.
This is the Home Show, News Radio, WRVA. WRVA. You said you couldn't imagine a 16-foot wide house?
No.
Well, I mean, first of all, a single wide trailer, I think, is about 12. That's what you and I were determining,
right?
12 feet wide. But what they're building is a shotgun house. Now, the way where shotgun houses came from was from Napoleonic law. I'm a big fan of Napoleon. I don't know if you know anything about the guy. And no, he wasn't.
He's short.
No, he wasn't. He was not short, and he was not a dictator. Yeah, the unpopular opinion. No, but one of the things they did was to tax you on property. They would tax you on how many doors were inside of your home. It was a way for them to come up with square footage and how wide. So what people started doing was they made narrower homes that were long, and they did away with things like closets. This is all mostly Louisiana area because it was under Napoleonic law when it first got started. So that's where your shotgun house is. I don't have doors on my closets, but they'd have a wardrobe. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm not taking up that much width, but I can take up all the length I want. So that's where they could be taxed less by having a weirder shaped house.
Gotcha.
So that's where the shotgun house came from. That's right. Just so happens my brain is full of worthless junk. You know what's sad? I filled my head with so much trivia that I was seeing a buddy of mine in the hospital, and I'm like, dude, you know, you've been a friend since high school. He goes, we went to church together when we were little kids. I'm like, huh? We went to Sunday school together. No. That got pushed right out of my head so that I could make room for other stuff. All right, so let's get back to it. You have, by the way, 833-804-1140. That's 833-804-1140. That's how you get through to the show. 833 being toll free. 804 Richmond, 1140 us. So let's say you're going to come over to my house and service the my mini split, which he's going to do, and you know, cleaned up and make sure my gas logs are working properly. Also going to do. What thermostat do you want to put in my house?
You could just use a simple programmable anybody's thermostat.
Okay.
I mean, there's several different manufacturers. So it's just for what you need for your boiler. It's just something down dirty and cheap.
Okay. Honeywell, then.
A Honeywell, White Rogers.
I've never heard of White Rogers.
Yeah, they're the second biggest manufacturer.
Okay.
And then, or April Air, anybody.
April Air. Now, that's funny that they got into thermostats because they were just an air cleaner for originally, weren't they?
They're doing air cleaners and humidifiers.
That's where That's where I know them from.
Yep.
I used to. That was something we could do as plumbers is install
humidifiers. Right. And now they've gotten into dehumidifiers. So dehumidifiers are real big in the South, and they've gotten big in the Mid-Atlantic because we have horribly humid summers.
Yeah, but if you're running air conditioning, that's a dehumidifier.
But we have sometimes, I mean, when you get into these long stretches because the house breathes, we're still bringing in more humidity than we can, than the air conditioner can get rid of. And the worst part about it, we discussed heating earlier about how with boilers in those old houses like yours, they made the boiler, the heating system was twice as big as it needed to be, and then the boiler was twice as big as the heating system. And so because energy was cheap, well, some people go crazy, go, oh, well, you know, I'm hot, so bigger is better. We put in more air conditioning than we need, but we cool it down, but we don't dehumidify it properly. When we have an oversized system, the system comes on, runs for a little bit, cuts off.
You're short cycling. And it's not giving it time for to dehumidify. It just cools.
Correct. Now, with the increase in mandated efficiencies in cooling systems,
right,
we have lost some of our dehumidification capabilities.
Oh.
There's two different loads we work at. It's called sensible and latent. Sensible, we measure, we feel that temperature. Latent is getting rid of that humidity. We've lost the ability to get rid of some of that humidity as we've increased the efficiency in being able to remove the heat. So now dehumidifiers are becoming more of a necessity because we can't get rid of that moisture as well as we used to be able to.
Now, let's talk about humidifiers.
Okay.
And I'll be really, really selfish for me. Okay. Cause there are other people out there that have a radiator system. I'm not moving any air at all.
Nope.
What can I do to get humidity back into my house? So it gets dry.
Yes. So they make a steam humidifier and it has its own little fan pack system that you put it on and it feeds the steam in there and it's got its own little fan and blows the steam out to humidify the house.
So what, like a freestanding unit?
No, it's the little fan pack mounts on the wall. It actually goes in the joist bay, and then you mount the humidifier on the wall, and then you just pipe into it.
Okay, so it does have to have a water feed to it. So
yeah, you got to have water, and you got to have power.
I'm imagining something about the size of a ice maker line.
Yes. Okay. Well, yeah, feeding the humidifier,
mm-hmm.
but the pipe that feeds the steam, the little fan pack, is an inch and a half.
That don't make any sense.
Well, you got to have you want the volume of steam.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so you're not squirting water, you're squirting steam.
Okay, so something I could do to my house. And
yep.
I mean, because you know what I'm doing now to humidify the house?
Pans on the radiator.
No, well, yeah, that's part of it, but I just make sure that when either I or the wife are taking a shower, we just leave the bathroom door open.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, get as much steam out there.
There you go.
I mean, the dog already opens the door whenever she goes into the restroom anyway. No matter what, he's like, I want to be with mommy. Right. And so I have to be very careful that when I'm walking through, like, okay, don't look that way. Don't want to embarrass anybody. weird dog.
But the old days, that's what we did. We put pans on stoves, wood stoves or radiators. Now we got a big market for individual room humidifiers.
Now that's what. Now I'm interested. How's that work?
They're germ factories because nobody cleans them correctly.
Oh.
So you fill them up with water, but every day it's kind of like CPAP machine. You're supposed to clean your CPAP every day, up to and including the humidifier in the CPAP, because bacteria can grow in it, make all kind of nasty things that give you this nagging cough. I did it. Didn't clean my machine right.
I was going to ask you, do you clean your machine every day?
I bought another machine. I do wipe the mask off every day,
mm-hmm.
and then put it in the SoClean machine so that it sanitizes the humidifier. I have not had a nagging cough in a year since I've been doing that. Now, same thing with the dehumidifiers, with the little standalone humidifiers, everybody just keeps filling up with water. Well, it's growing stuff. So you got to clean it with vinegar or warm soapy water, something that doesn't have a lot of dye in it.
Okay.
And just to kill the germs so that you don't grow things, because you can actually go the other way.
I thought about getting one of those ones that you put a little Vicks in it, too. Just remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Your mom put a little Vicks in the humidifier. And just
buy a bottle of Vicks liquid, not just the paste that you rubbed on your chest, but they actually had a liquid. You dumped it in the little water reservoir, and it.
No. See, I've only got 20 seconds. My mom had the one that had the stainless steel bottom, the black plastic top of it, and she had to put the actual paste in there. Mm-hmm. You know,
it melted it.
You see them in antique stores. My name is Richard McCann, joined by Everett. From Bree Macklin. We'll be taking your calls at 833-804-1140. That's 833-804-1140. That is how you get through to the 17-year anniversary of the Home Show. News Radio WRVA.
And here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Welcome to our number dose of the 17-year anniversary of the Home Show right here on News Radio WRVA. My name is Richard McCann, your humble home improvement guru. By the way, did I tell you, Everett, how that happened? I didn't name myself the home improvement guru. I didn't do that.
Who did?
One of the listeners, like within the first 6 months of doing this show, they called in and they said, dude, you are the guru. And I was like, I'll take it. Why not?
There you go.
You know, in fact, I'm working on a new company called Home Guru. I'll tell you about that once the business license goes through.
Okay.
All right. So 833. 804-1140. It's 833-804-1140. Let's jump right both in with both feet. Bradley and Enrico.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Well, sir. Very well.
Been listening to you for a long, ever since you've been there. But I had a question about mercury. It's not in the thermostat.
Mercury.
Somewhere
okay.
in the when I ended up buying a house, it's got like 100 pounds in the glass cylinder that's sitting in the garage, and I can't find out where to get rid of it.
He has 100 pounds of mercury in his garage.
And the place that takes the thermostats where you turn them in at, they won't take it.
No. No. Goodness gracious. You know,
I really don't say too much for Homeland Security may show up at the house.
Well, I don't know what. I mean, well, I don't know how you could do, and you can't build a bomb out of or anything like that. And probably someone was using it for their bullets. I've known people that added mercury to some of their firearms.
I think it came from when Western Electric was where White Oak was, is where it came from.
All right. What I would do is you're in Henrico. I would call the Henrico Extension Service.
Okay.
All right. And see what they would recommend. You could also call your local landfill, and they can probably.
Yeah, they won't touch it.
I didn't say they'd touch it, but at least they can tell you where to go with it.
Okay.
Or the fire marshal's office.
Fire marshal might be interesting because they deal in a lot of
hazardous materials.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I'd start I probably would start with the fire department.
Or you could call Department of Environmental Quality.
Yeah.
Just ask a general question.
That's where I go. Call S.P. Cox. S.P. Cox is one of the biggest demolition people out there. And I'm sure they've dealt with something like that in the past.
Because they use contaminated soil. They buy contaminated soils and recondition it so it can be sold again.
But, you know, half my neighborhood was contaminated with mercury on the soil. The cleanup took months. They just removed people's topsoil.
Yeah, that's why I want to get rid of it.
Yeah, you do.
Well, something happens to it.
Start with your fire department, then go to the extension service.
All right, appreciate your help.
Thank you, Bradley.
Three, four, five, 11.
Uh-oh. Joanne?
Yes?
Hi, sweetie. What's going on?
Nothing much. I just wanted to call and wish you a happy radioversary.
Radioversary.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, sweetheart. For those of you who don't know, this is Joanne Lee McCann, my lovely bride, who married me right in this same room.
Yes. Hello, everyone.
Now, question, how's the dog?
All right. As always, he's a handful, but what can you expect?
Well, sweetie, I got to say this. You know, since we've been together, and we've been together for over 2 years, I'll tell you, everybody, Joanne's been the most supportive person out there when it comes to my radio and entertainment career. If I say I want to do a project, she's like, go for it! So, thank you, honey. You make life a lot easier.
Well, you do the same for me, and I just wanted to let you know that I'm proud of you, and I believe in what you do, and you also, on top of all that, you have the best listeners.
Ah, look at that. I'm teaching her well, aren't I, Everett?
Yes, I'm telling the truth.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.
It's an honor and a privilege.
Now, Fulton Fest when I get home.
The home improvement community.
Fulton Fest when I get home?
You betcha.
All right, sweetie, I'll see you soon.
All righty then.
Love you.
Love you too. Have a good one. See you soon. Bye.
I got a good one.
You're a changed man.
You know what? Here's the funny thing, and I will say this in all honesty. Once she and I got together, everybody that truly knows me and knows what I went through said the same thing. They said, you're a totally different person.
You're not as stressed as you used to be.
No, not as stressed, not as worried. And just there's something about, I mean, you were married. A good partner is hard to come by, but when you find them, you know, cherish every moment.
You got that right.
Yes, sir. 833-804-1140. Steve in Richmond.
Hey, how are you? Good morning.
Good.
Your wife said more good things to you. The only time I ever hear that is when I fix her dinner. And she tells me after that, I love you. Thanks for dinner. She goes to bed, so that's not end of my story.
I cook dinner every single night. So what's going on? I've got 2 minutes.
I moved into an apartment back in July. Well, in the part of July, the main line going to the radiator on the wall from the boiler system burst and flooded our bedroom, hallway, bathroom, and everything. So it's got carpet down on laminated, you know, there's parquet floors with concrete under it.
Sure.
They come in there, suck the water out of the carpet, and left it. And now we're both staying like we got bad allergy attacks all the time. You think there's mold in here, possibly?
Oh yeah,
highly probable. Because if you got it out of the carpet, didn't get it out of the flooring.
Yeah, I think I would go over to a corner and pull it back
and see what that parquet looks like. It's probably black.
Yeah, it's wet. It's still wet. I told them I said you cannot dry parquet floor on concrete underneath it. The water will be there for years. So I'm going to get a mold test done on Monday because it's killing us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I mean, if you're and remember, if your landlord doesn't clean it, you do have people you can call. You can call the Better Business Bureau. Heck, you can call some of these 6-12-8s that help people out too, because that's a health hazard right there.
Yeah, I got to get out of here. I can't breathe. You probably hear me now. I feel like I got a bad allergy attack in April.
Yep.
But
even the local health department.
Yeah, you can call the local health department. That's an excellent one.
Yeah.
All right, Steve. Get that stuff cleaned up.
Have a great day.
All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's a mess. Wet carpet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they obviously didn't use a very good service because there's plenty of services out there that know what to do when you get a wet carpet.
Yeah, you got to peel it up and blow air and run big dehumidifiers, mm-hmm. huge dehumidifiers to dry all that stuff out.
And it can take weeks.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm very, very fortunate. I think it's because you and I have been exposed to so much nastiness over the years. I don't have allergies.
Nope.
None. See? None.
I'm getting to the point now of the age where the immune system is not working quite as well as it used to.
Right.
But, you know, but all in all, like, you know, pollen allergies and stuff like that, I just don't experience it anymore. I grew up on a farm.
Me too. This is the Home Show, News Radio WRVA. Radio WRVA, been saying that for 17 years too, but not this. 833-804-1140. It's 833-804-1140. That's the new phone number. How are you doing, Everett?
I'm doing well.
It's been a fun show today. I've really enjoyed your company.
I just got one question.
Sure.
Where'd the morning go?
Oh, this is a TARDIS, dude.
It's what, 20 minutes after 11? It's like, mm-hmm. wow. I just got here a little bit ago.
I started this whole day at 2:00 in the morning, so I know how you feel. Jordan, I was wondering if I could talk to your lovely fiance for a second. Does she have a moment to converse with me? This is her first time on radio. Hello, Miss Sarah. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing absolutely fantastic. Now, we have a segment we do here on the show. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you listen every week.
Yes.
Okay. About things that happen in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a story I want to do, but before I get there, I need some of your expertise. You are now a school teacher.
Yes.
Where are you teaching?
I teach at North Elementary in Prince George County.
Outstanding. And mm-hmm. you're teaching fourth graders.
Yes, sir.
All right. By the way, thank you again for the biscuits.
You're so good. Welcome.
So I remember going to school about a million years ago, and I had to get a lunch packed. But some kids did buy lunch. Mm-hmm. What does a school lunch go for these days?
Around like $4 now.
$4 mm-hmm. a day to feed a kid.
Yes, it's not. I don't think it's anywhere near that amount of money.
Okay,
it's just they get like one entree and like some string beans, and that's about it.
So they get an entree and what, two sides? Mm-hmm. Or okay, I mean that's a well balanced meal for $4. Jordan, maybe we need to start getting in on this lunch lady thing. What do you think?
He's talking at me knowing full well I can't hear him. I'm waiting for you to point at me so I can play it.
That's okay. Well, thank you so much, dear. $4. You are doing God's work because I wouldn't be a teacher for anything in this world. But, Jordan, not everything's bad. It happens
in Florida.
All right, so we've established it's $4 a day per kid for lunch, right?
Right.
Well, this happened in Florida. A man in Florida paid off the lunch debt for more than 400 students. He hopes others will follow suit. This is in Jupiter, Florida. Hundreds of Florida students in need were able to have their lunch debt paid off this week through a community group that banded together to set an example. Quote, it was a lot of impact of a child as happy and well-fed, Angie Knight, who helps manage the Jupiter Mamas Facebook group. This all started with a Facebook post in August after she found out that many kids across the country accrue a debt from not being able to pay for lunch. Quote, I was like, that's not okay. She said, these kids are starting off the school year with a negative balance, won't even have a shot at starting with a clean slate. Her post detailed a plea for help along with lunch debt totals for more than 400 students. So she hoped the multiple people would donate to cover the nearly $1,000 in debt. So these kids were actually starting the school year in the red because it couldn't get covered a year ago. Well, anyway, long story short, one gentleman ponied up enough money to pay for 400 of those students all by himself down in Florida.
Good for him.
I think that's pretty sweet right there. And yes. Here's the thing. He doesn't have kids. He does not have any kids in the school system at all.
Even better.
I think it's pretty awesome. So I guess not everything in Florida is awful. Not everything is, you know, some craziness.
Mickey Mouse is down there.
Well, okay. Oh, by the way, hey, Jordan, hit it again.
It happens in Florida.
Now, that being said, this very nice man who did this incredibly nice thing to all these nice people, and I believe that charity does begin at home, and God bless him. But that being said, Florida doesn't get away clean on this one. This story from Fox News, Florida police tell man to quit calling about stolen marijuana. A man in Florida repeatedly called 911 over the weekend to report that his roommate had stolen his weed, police said. A deputy for the Pasco County Sheriff's Office recounted the bizarre call on Twitter. Deputy Neil Zavitt says in Twitter video that he called the man back and to tell him to quit contacting the sheriff's office about his purloined pot. The video was made as part of the agency's Tweet Along program, which allows viewers to get a behind-the-scenes look at police work by the deputies. Recreational marijuana, it remains illegal in Florida. A sheriff's deputy says no charges were filed against the caller. Here's the thing. Was it really stolen, or did he just kind of forget where he put it? No, it's right here, man. James must have taken my weed, man. That's not cool. I'm going to call the cops on you. Pain in my butt. The funny thing is, you have since we've started this segment of the show, how many people go to the cops in Florida to complain about either their drugs being stolen or the quality of their drugs not being good? Didn't we have a guy that wanted to have his crack, or was it his heroin, tested?
He was something.
It was like, you know, this is bad. It was crystal meth.
There
he was
you
complaining.
Go.
He was complaining about the quality of his crystal meth, and he wanted the cops to get to the bottom of that particular situation. Not a good look, people. Not a good look for Florida whatsoever. Oh, me. We've been doing that for almost 2 years now. It never stops.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It never stops. It just keeps coming. So, thank you for enjoying that with me. And I promise I will keep that bit going here on the home show until either Florida straightens their act out or I don't do it anymore. Chance, you ever been to Florida?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Oh, that's right. You were a big Disney World guy, weren't you?
Yeah. We used to go down every year.
I've been once. I was 20. We were on a road trip and birthday present.
Yeah, it was my wife's feel good place.
She said.
So we went down every year, sometimes multiple times a year since 99.
I want to go to the new Star Wars park.
It's not finished, but it's still got a lot of stuff.
There's still a lot of stuff, but you're right. The part of it where they like basically kidnap you for 3 days and you're not allowed outside the park, that's still coming.
Yeah.
All right. My name is Rich McCann. I'm joined by Evan from BreMac. I promise we'll get back on track right after this. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA, 833-804-1140. That's how you get through to the show. I'm joined by Everett from BreMac. How long have you been with BreMac now?
21 years.
21 years of putting up with Frank?
Yep.
I'd lose
I'll be 22 years in March.
Okay. Whew. It's a long time.
Yes, it is.
But the nice thing is you don't just sit behind the desk. You still get out there and keep your hands in it.
Not as much as I used to, but yeah, I still have to go out there.
I don't think you have to as much. I mean,
I don't have to as much, but I go out on consultations and stuff.
Sure.
Here and there.
Yeah. And you guys are hiring.
At the moment, we're okay.
Okay.
But we're always looking for, you know, anybody's welcome to apply at any time, and we keep those applications on file, and, you know, we'll contact people later on if we have a position available.
Now, one of the things Frank was trying to explain to me, I did not understand. Hopefully you do, and you know what I'm talking about. You guys have taken on a big chunk of a propane company's service. I think you took all of it or something like that.
Yeah, a good chunk of the service.
And there's a lot of people that, you know, listen to the show. They live out. And when you live out, I mean, you're not in a tight-knit neighborhood or close to the city. You are limited to electricity to heat and cool your house, oil, or propane. And he was telling me something about some kind of anodes, electrodes, or something for underground propane tanks. I didn't understand it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, anodes. See, so if you get the tank, you put the tank in the ground, the minerals in the ground are going to attack it, that tank out. So you want that tank to last for a while, so you put anode. It's just a bag of magnesium that those minerals are going to attack first and preserve the tank. So we have to go out once a year and test them. It's called cathodic testing. And if it fails, then you got to put in a new anode bag. And it's true of anybody's tank. It's just you're doing whatever you got to do to preserve that tank. Because if the tank fails and you put a new bag on and it still fails, then that tank's got to come out of the ground because the hole's going to eat through it and dump your propane, and that becomes a very dangerous situation.
Not to mention that poisons the whole yard, and then we're back to, you know.
Well, you got to worry more about, because propane's heavy, it's going to sit right there on the ground, and it, one ignition source, and you got a major issue on your hands. Yes. So that's why, you know, we've been doing those for a while, but yeah, propane tank testing is important.
So it's kind of like the same kind of anode rod that we have in a water heater.
Exactly.
It's sacrificing so the water heater will last longer.
Exactly.
Which I'm finding water heaters are lasting longer. Have you noticed that much on your end?
Well, we've seen some that were, you know, 20 years old, 25 years old, and why they've lasted that long, I'll never know.
Oh, I had somebody call the show a couple of weeks ago. I think his water heater was 35 years old, and he had the audacity to ask me a question about a 35-year-old water heater. I nearly lost my mind. The oldest I've ever seen, and it's not far from here at the radio station, is a lady wanted me to do a home inspection. I did a home inspection, and she had a water heater that was green. You with me so far?
Okay.
Do you remember the green ones?
Yes.
You know who made the green ones?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was from 1978.
Good gosh.
And I'm like, why is this still here? And her response, the response I get from most people, it still works.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, it still works.
So you have a flood.
Well, fortunately, it was in a basement with a drain, but still.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you got to keep an eye on those things.
Yeah.
By the way, which brand are you guys installing?
We'll do Bradford White, State, or A.O. Smith.
Do you know why you carry Bradford White?
Because of the distributor that carries them.
No, because I suggested it. I said it was my favorite, and Frank heard it on the air. And he said, now we got to carry Bradford White. Thanks.
No, we've carried those they've been putting in Bradford Whites ever since I've been there.
My dad has been a State water heater guy forever, ever and ever and ever and ever. And I got no problems with them whatsoever. But they were bought by A.O. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had my druthers, and I'm going to have to put one in my house in the not-too-distant future, I'm going for the Bradford.
Yeah,
I've just found they're just that slight bit better. That's all I can give them, slight bit.
Yeah, they're using a coating on the inside of their tank. It's pretty tough. We actually had one of their trainers come down and go over some stuff with us, and they had a sample of the inside, the cutaway of the tank.
Mm-hmm.
It was tough stuff.
I tell you what, I think the most brilliant thing I've ever heard a manufacturer do, excuse me, is when our illustrious government said that water heaters had to be more efficient,
mm-hmm.
and they had to add insulation. My dad lost his mind, as well as did a lot of plumbers, because by doing what they wanted us to do, a lot of water heaters weren't going to fit where they used to fit.
Yep.
The genius of the person, and I hope this guy got $1 million bonus. The genius of the person that said, why don't we just give them a thermal blanket and they can put it on? So they didn't have to change anything. They just had to throw in $2.50 worth of thermal blanket into the box. I think the guy, that is almost as smart as the little girl who was selling Girl Scout cookies outside of dispensary in California. She's the smartest person. That's where the Nobel Prize should have gone to.
Yeah, really.
Absolutely. What'd she get it for? She was selling Girl Scout cookies outside of a dispensary. Genius. So,
got the munchies.
833-804-1140. Let's talk about air purification.
Okay.
All right. We'll start in general. You got people that we've determined that a lot of people have heat pumps. What's the best way to clear up your air? If you have a heat pump, forced air.
Any forced air system, you can put a good quality whole house media filter on. The filters that you use while you're changing them in the grills and the walls,
mm-hmm.
the problem is that the sizes will vary a little bit. You can get one box, same manufacturer, and it fits just fine. You get to the next box of that same manufacturer, and it's a little bit loose. So once that filter fills up, then the air is looking to get around it, and it's not doing its job. The whole house ones, they're sealing up pretty good. You can get just the plain media filter, or you can get to the ones that have electronics on them where they're capturing kill technology. They're capturing viruses and mold spores and bacteria. Once they get caught in that media, they're electrified, and the DNA capsules are destroyed, so that renders them useless. Or they get irradiated by UV lights that are part of the grid. And there are other purifiers that the UV lamp is there to activate a catalyst that produces some sort of plasma or hydroperoxide compound that attacks living organisms like microorganisms like bacteria, mold spores, and viruses.
If you go back in time, when I started doing this show, within the first 5 years, somewhere in there, there was this huge national company mm-hmm. that was selling this, I mean, a ridiculously over-engineered air filtration system. Mm-hmm. It had a HEPA filter in it that was like 6 inches thick. It had the electric air cleaner, and it had the UV light. Do you remember that?
Are you talking about PureTech?
PureTech, that was it. I actually met the owner of that company. It was the first year I was on air because he came here with Glenn Beck. Those systems were like $3,000.
Yep. And there's still some of them out there.
There are. But do I remember correctly that you and Frank bought a lot of parts for those things when they went out of business?
Well, we can still get the filter media and the bulbs and the ballasts for them.
Okay.
So there's still replacement parts available.
Now, what about the air night? I remember that was a thing.
The air night is goes in the supply duct where it's pushing out of the unit, going out to distribute the air into the house, and that's one of the products that has a UV bulb that's encased in a catalyst, and the air goes through the catalyst to carry that hydroperoxide compound out and disperse it throughout the system and throughout the home. It will kill bacteria, 90% of the bacteria and viruses from the average sneeze within 3 feet. So,
and that stuff also, because it creates a hydrogen peroxide in the air, that settles on
surfaces
and kills them
and helps
too.
To sanitize the surfaces. There are other standalone things that are out there. And they have a very limited range, but things that are for the central system. You know, UV lights, just UV lights, that irradiates a surface, like the coil surface, to kill things that would grow on the coil. But the air night and other plasma generators where we ionize the air that tend to attack things and kill microorganisms, those are the things that go into the airstream.
When we get back, I'm going to ask you a question about the freestanding ones. My name is Richard McCann. This is The Home Show. Radio WRVA. The phone number is 833-804-1140. That's 833-804-1140. It changed just a little bit. And just when I was getting used to saying it after 17 years. By the way, this is only the second chair I've had since we've been here.
Well worn in.
This is only the second. Well, I mean.
Or should I say worn out?
Well, no. Everybody has their own chair. That one over there is John Reed's. You're sitting in Jeff Katz, and this is mine. I marked it so I know which one's what. So, Okay, last thing I want to bring up because, well, we're almost done. And we were talking about air purification. Now, I've got a portable air night that you could just plug into the wall. I've got that. That's good for one room.
Right.
But, I mean, 15 years ago, I bought this freestanding unit that was said it would kill anything and everything, including anthrax. Mm-hmm. And it would, I think it would do like 1,200 square feet or something like that. I paid like 550 or 600 bucks for the thing. I don't know where it is. I have no clue where it is anymore. I've moved around too much. But I'm seeing next generations of these things. I saw them at the home show. You see them online. When I walked into the house, it's kind of smell like chlorine. Can you tell me what that was and if there is something that works?
It was probably an ozone generator of some description. And ozone will give you that really crisp, clean smell. Smell right after a thunderstorm, especially right after a lightning strike. You smell that, how fresh the air is. Mm-hmm. That's because the lightning charge has energized the air and made ozone as it was coming down. So there are UV bulbs that can actively make ozone, but ozone can be dangerous to lung tissue. So you have to be careful, and there's a threshold, a limit to what can be produced. Ozone is produced by every electronic device, but it has to be at a very, very low threshold, or otherwise they have to specify that it's making it. So UV lights, different wavelengths can make different amounts of it or none at all.
And this thing had these weird porcelain plates in it, mm-hmm, with like a stainless steel mesh on it.
Yeah, titanium grid.
That's what it was.
Yep. And you have to clean them every so often because it doesn't do anything about it. It does attract dust. Some of them had a filter mechanism in it so that they would try to keep the titanium grids clean. Cleaner.
Yeah, I think this did. It had a little thing I could pull out and wash out.
Yep. But same thing. You got to, after a while, those grids oxidize a little bit and you have to pull them out and clean them. There's one company that air conditioning company that manufactures one's got a titanium grid in it, and they tell you use a packing peanut to clean the.
A packing peanut.
Packing peanut.
Okay.
It's in the instructions to clean the tips on that thing, because there's a really sharp point on it that points into the air to kind of help energize that air as it's going through there, energize the particles as it's going through there.
But so the question is, are there any of those filters on the market that one will do the job? I mean, you just told me, well, you didn't really answer the question, to be honest with you. You told me how it works, but do they make them? Are there units out there that you could recommend for people?
Yeah, there are whole house solutions of those products on the market, and that's the best way to do it, because there was one company a few years ago that was just advertising everywhere, and those things were like $800. There was like a little tower, or they were $1,000.
Yes, I remember. What was that company called? You can say it.
Ionic Breeze.
That's right. You pulled the fins out and just wiped them down, and then put the fins back in.
Yeah. Very limited treatment area, and you had to have a bunch of them to really actually do the job that needed to be done. So now you can spend less money and do the whole house. So there's a boatload of products out there.
But that would go into a central system.
Go into a central system.
That I don't have.
That you don't have. Yeah. So now you're looking at having to do standalone units, which you generally run $500 to $1,000, and they have a limited treatment area.
House isn't that big.
Yeah. So I mean, they're only due 500 to 700 square feet at a clip.
And I'd need two of them then.
Yeah, exactly.
Possibly three.
Yeah.
Great.
See, it starts adding up after a while.
Yeah, it does. All right. And you said you could put one in my mini split?
Yeah, there's one that's even made for mini splits. Now you have to raise the door and get the filters out of the way and take a little soft brush and clean the emitter. The emitter's off.
Once a week, you said?
Once a week or so, every other week or so. But, yeah, they have to be cleaned on a regular basis. But they're made for mini splits.
All right. We'll talk next time I'm by the shop. How much is that going to cost me?
That one's about $500.
I better sell another house. 833-804-1140. Let's end this show with another story. This is not from Florida, though. This is in Norway. I guess they're having a bit of a drought because here's the story. Norwegians are being told to pee in the shower in order to save water for good of the environment. Okay, so this is just trying to save the environment, okay? Yes, really. Foyd Hudel of the Water and Sewage Agency in Oslo appeared on Norwegian state television to raise awareness about the fact that Norway uses almost double the amount of water used in Denmark. Quote, do not run the water when you brush your teeth. Only wash when filling washing machine. Only wash with filled washing machines. Only buy washing machines that don't use so much water. Use a pot when you ate watering plants in your garden. Whoever wrote this is terrible. And pee in the shower in the morning. The host of the show challenged his statement, remarking, pee in the shower. You do know that people will choke when they hear you say that. Opinions?
What? No. I'll leave that one alone.
I'm not. Here's the thing. I am not going to leave that alone for one simple reason. Over the years, of course, while I've been doing this show, there's been many a time where we ran out of power. Okay? Mm-hmm. Power's out multiple places around the city and the state, blah, blah, blah. And people that have wells were having trouble filling and flushing their toilets. Now, it's true, you can take a 5-gallon bucket and flush a toilet. But if you just got to pee, well, first of all, guys are going to go outside. But the trap on a shower is much smaller.
Yes, that's true.
And it takes a lot less water to flush out that trap than it does to flush a toilet.
But see, we fill the bathtub with water, so we got water to flush the toilet with.
Okay. Oh, you're going to go outside anyway, and I don't want to know about what mom's doing. Paul in Chesterfield.
Oh, hey, Richard. Hey, I got a 25-year-old traditional two-story colonial, and I want to over-insulate the attic. It's already got the standard insulation between the ceiling joists. What should I put in there? Spray or more bats?
No, what do you recommend? You want to blow insulation until it's about, what is it, R33 in our area?
It's usually about, you can blow in insulation, get it 18 inches deep.
Yeah.
Or you could put unfaced bats in there. If you already have faced bats in there, then you have to buy unfaced bats and put on top of it.
Blowing so much cheaper and easier. And you know what? If you really want to go even farther, you could get some of those thermal blankets that go up underneath the roof rafters.
You got to be careful about that because it'll cause the roof to sweat. Sometimes.
Not the stuff I used to. That was the first question I asked when I used to do commercials for E-Shield. Mm-hmm. My first question was it permeable and did it breathe? And yes, it did.
Yes.
But you do have to ask that question.
Yep.
So that's where
so should I use fiberglass or cellulose?
Cellulose.
Cellulose, gotcha.
I don't.
Now, there's some plywood up there that goes over to the AC unit.
Yeah.
Should I cover that with something also?
No. No, leave that alone because people like me and Everett got to go. Get on there. Dude, I got to go. I'm out of time. Everett, thanks for coming by on my 17th anniversary. That is
glad to be
the
here.
17th anniversary home show in the can. Burned to a disc and put neatly in a shoebox underneath my mama's bed. I want to thank Jordan for getting up early, pushing all the right buttons. I want to thank Sarah for getting us breakfast. I want to thank Dennis for keeping his finger right on the pulse of the news. I want to thank Everett from BREMAC coming in and being my wingman today. Everybody out there, have a great day. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful day. A Fulton Fest is going on in Fulton Hill. There is stuff going on everywhere, and I'm going to take as much advantage of it as I can. My name is Richard McCann. I'll see you next Saturday, 6 to 8, 10 till noon on News Radio WRVA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.